Are y'all doing good today? Yeah. Let's all see y'all smile. Some of y'all need to go to the dentist. That's okay. We can't see it. I want to say hello to everybody watching online and in North County. What's happening, y'all? Let's give a shout out to everybody watching online, especially our military out there. Amen. And let me just take a moment to talk to people online, because Easter is in 2 weeks, and I want to encourage you to be thinking about who you can invite to watch the service with you, because just as all of us are here, there's friends. We all have friends that Christmas and Easter are the times they go to church, the creasters. And so you want to be thinking about who, we all have creasters in our life, so you want to think of who are those people you're going to invite, because they're waiting to get invited. I mean, they're like, man, I haven't been to church in a year, so how do I do that? You know, what times do I go? Where do I go? So I want to encourage you to take a step of faith and invite somebody to church that you know doesn't go. And especially if you're all watching online, same thing. If there's people out there that, you know, invite someone to your house or wherever you watch the service so you can watch the service with you. And by the way, next week we're having a ministry fair. For all of y'all watching online, you can participate by doing something in your community, wherever you are. There's people all around the world watching. You know, go clean up a park, go get some other people to help an elderly couple, get their mail, cut their grass, do something in your community as well. So in addition to just watching online, so we appreciate you watching. So let's, a couple things. Tuesday, this is just a special day for me. I just had a birthday the other day. Amen. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I turned 50, wonderful. But someone told me that I like that. 50, wonderful. But Tuesday is, I am 27 years sober. So I want to encourage, amen. And I say sober because it wasn't a drunk thing. It was more cocaine. So I don't know what the true term is. But clean, maybe. Clean, I should say, probably. But I want to say that to all the people who are struggling with addiction now, whether you just stopped or you're fighting through stopping, that Tuesday is my 27-year anniversary for stopping cocaine in one day. So I want to encourage you, whatever you're dealing with, God can overcome it. There is light at the end of the tunnel. If you're trying to identify with a higher power, he has a name. His name is Jesus. And he's not just something out there. He's very specific. And why that's very important is that he wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to empower you every single day, one day at a time. So it's been 27 years for me. I stopped cocaine in one day, stopped smoking marijuana that same day. My wife and I were dating, kind of, back and forth. We got back together that day, and we got married a few months later. So God can do it. So that's April 12th is my day. I'm excited about it. Amen. And also, if you can look real quick, look in the back of your bulletin, because I'm going to refer to this briefly in the message. If you look in the back of your bulletin, where it says giving online. Do you see that? Does everybody see that? Yes. Very back of bulletin. We're going to be continue our series about giving and being blessed. You can always give online and have it be automatic. You don't have to think about it. I've been doing that for several years, where it's just, it comes out of my paycheck. I've been tithing, actually, since I got saved 27 years ago. So, but since we have now internet, you could do it automatically. So be thinking about that as a giving option. Okay, let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Word. Very good. Let's say that one more time with some oomph. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Luke 16. Luke, I am your father. Luke 16. Luke 16. While you turn there, is anybody here for the first time? Just raise your hand. Very good. Where are you from? Huh? Where? England. England. Oh, are you live there? You're in the military. I love your accent. The military. Military. Very good. How long you been here in the United States? How long you been visiting? Monday. Wow. Very good. Very good. Right behind you. Where are you from? Did y'all raise your hand? San Diego. Welcome, welcome. Okay, very good. We're in San Diego. Where? Skyline. Okay, so just a few minutes away. Okay. Usually when people come, they're from like Ramona, they come down on their horse, you know, just come down. So from Skyline, that's good. Okay. Okay, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for blessing us, and we pray you bless us again. And we pray we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. A buddy of mine had a dream, and in his dream, he was standing in line and behind a bunch of people. And at the front of the line, Jesus was standing, facing them, and behind Jesus was a big vault, and the vault was open. It's full of money. And so when he got to the front of the line, Jesus said, "How much do you want?" And whatever you wanted, he would go in and get it. So the first guy said, "I want $100,000. So he said, "Hold on 1 second." Told his angel to go get him $100,000, gave him $100,000. Next guy said, "I want $250,000. Okay, $250,000. Next guy asked for $1,000,000, blah, blah, blah. And when my buddy got to the front of the line, Jesus said, "How much do you want?" He said, "I want it all." Everyone say, "I want it all." There is a storehouse of blessing. It's endless. And God says in Ephesians 1:3 that he has blessed all of us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Everyone say all. That means that you can go to the front of the line and say, "Lord, I want it all." What that means is I want everything that's assigned to me. I want it all. All of us in here and watching wherever you are, you can get it all for you and still be a whole lot left over for everybody else to get it all. Everyone say all. Now, last week, we started a series called Blessed. It's a three-week series. We're going to end it next week. And we were talking about how the church is having financial challenges just like the rest of the economy, and that we still have dreams that we believe God has given us that are bigger and are going to require more money, yet we're having challenges. And so we said, how are we going to address it with the church? Do we tell the church, "Hey, can you give $10 more a week, $5 more a week?" Or do we say, believing what the Bible says, that there's a storehouse of blessing? And do we just teach you how to get the storehouse of blessing for you, and by faith you're going to pass it on to the church and pass the portion that God says to give, and then by faith that's going to be passed on to the community? So we decided to go that route. We want to say, look, we want to help you understand how to be blessed. The economy may be failing. People may be losing their jobs. It doesn't mean God's people have to not be blessed. It doesn't mean when Israel was in Egypt and they were enslaved, God put darkness on the Egyptians, but the Jews had light. Okay, so you walk under grace, you walk under God's favor. God will be the one to decide how blessed you are, not the economy, not the government, not your family, not your boss. God is going to be the one to decide. And if you walk in obedience to God, he will bless you according to what he decides, not anybody else. Amen? Amen. So I want to review what we talked about last week to get us all caught up when we talked about last week. Then we'll get into our message today. We talked about, number one, blessed. A letter A in your notes, it says blessed. Blessed means to be happy. And last week we talked about when you're blessed means you're happy. When God blesses you, he is smiling on you and empowering you to do things you can't do and blessing you with things that are way above what you deserve. How many of y'all would agree by a show of hands you are blessed? Very good. We use the analogy of a guy walking down the street, and you look at him, and he's with a woman, and you say, "How did that guy get that woman?" Can I get amen?
Amen.
How many of you ladies are that lady? That's right. You're up here, and the guy's blessed. He's like, "Brother, how did you do that?" And he's like, "Well, you know, God." Okay, that's just God. God hooked me up. There's a lot of things in our life where you say, "God did it. God did it. God did it." So blessed means happy. Letter B, we talked about tithing. A tithe is 10%. Tithe is 10%. People say, "Well, is it 10% of my gross or 10% of my net?" It's 10% of what you feel God deserves. The Bible says it's all God's, and he wants 10% back, so it's 10% of your gross. You might want to look at it this way. Do you want your gross to be blessed, or do you want your net to be blessed? You want before taxes income to be blessed, or after tax income, okay? So that's a question you have to answer. The Bible clearly is 10% of your first fruits, as we're going to see in a minute, of the first you get. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let us see. Tithing is taught inside and outside the Old Testament law. Some people say, "Well, tithing is in the Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us. It's part of the law. It doesn't apply to us." Murder is part of the law. It applies to you. Don't lie is part of the law. Don't commit adultery is part of the law. You mean you don't obey those because they're part of the law? Now, with that said, tithing was taught before the law. Abraham and Jacob taught tithing. Tithing is taught in the law. Tithing is taught after the law in Jesus, Matthew 23:23. So that argument doesn't go by the wayside. Letter D, grace has a higher standard than the law. In other words, if you say, well, I live by grace and I don't live by law, you want to be clear what that means. It doesn't mean that there's no rules in your life. It doesn't mean that. There are rules in the Garden of Eden before there was sin, there were rules. Don't eat from that tree or you die. There's always going to be rules in your life. So don't think because you're under grace, you don't have to do something. Matter of fact, people say, well, I live under grace, so I don't have to tithe. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to ask Christ to be your Savior. You don't have to pray. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to obey the man's law. Do whatever you want. There will be consequences. There will be consequences, but you don't have to. And so if you don't have to pray, but if you don't pray, you cheat yourself out of the blessing of prayer. You're still not going to get blessed. People, it's ignorant, and if you really think about it, it's ignorant to think because I'm under grace, I don't have to do anything, but yet I still benefit. That's just dumb. That's not right. God don't work that way. So yeah, you don't have to, but there are benefits with doing what God prescribes you to do. Letter E, only non-tithers are tithe haters. Last week we were talking about, you know, people, some of y'all, when you hear the word tithe, you just get your panties in a bunch. And if you don't wear panties, it's just a term. It's just a term. It's an expression. It's an expression. People who don't like that topic are people who are not tithing because you haven't received the blessing of tithing. It's like people say, I don't have kids, I have a dog. Now, you may have a dog, you may like your dog, but please don't compare a dog to a child. You never had a child. So I'm not saying your dog is not nice. I'm not saying, you know, it doesn't bring you companionship and all kinds of stuff. But there is no comparison to the love you experience with a dog and then you have a kid. And you know, the only reason you don't know that is because you haven't had a kid. And so tithing is the same way. People who don't tithe and want to hold on to their money, they're the tithe haters. But people who give and are givers, they experience a blessing that you haven't experienced. And by the way, it's a blessing that comes with obedience because God tells us to do it, okay? Letter F, tithing is a heart issue, not a money issue. The Bible says your treasure is where your heart is. People who don't tithe, God hasn't got all your heart. He hasn't got all your heart. You come to church, you sit, you do what you think is religiously okay and spiritually okay, and God says, but it's not about what you believe, it's about what I believe, and your wallet is usually the last part of your life to get saved. You, your mouth gets out, praise the Lord, Jesus, forgive me my sin, and you go to church, you do a little thing, but what about your wallet? Oh, I don't know about that now. You're getting a little close to home there, big fella. You know, God, 30% of Jesus' parables is about money. 2,000 verses about money in the Bible, 500 about love and faith in heaven. And so God's saying, listen, your money is, I know how important your money is and your wealth. I know the perception you have of it. So I'm going to teach you about it because I know you're going to try to hold on to it. Okay? And letter G, God gets paid first. You don't give God last. He wants first fruits, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, first fruits. Genesis chapter 4, even with Adam and Eve's kids, Abel gave of the first fruits of his crops, of his firstborn of his flock, actually, and Cain, his brother, gave some of his stuff. We don't want to give God last. You guys doing your taxes, it's a good time to think, did I honor God with my money? Now, some people say, well, okay, if I start tithing now, how far back do I go? Go back as far as God leads you to go back. Some of you can go back a month or two, a year or two. You can. You have the ability, and you know what God's going to put on your heart? I want all that. Never give God money out of, all right, I'll just do it. Keep your money. Or guilt. Keep your money. God wants you to give him what is already his. It's not giving, it's returning because it's already his. God wants you to return to him a portion of what he's given you because you appreciate him. Because you trust he's the giver of everything you have anyway, and he's going to give you more. So you can give back to him. You're a conduit. So you want to give with a cheerful heart, an appreciative heart. And if God says, listen, you haven't given me money for 20-something years or whatever it is, and God says, I want you to go back to January. I want you to go back last year because he's blessed you that much, well, then do it. And you'll be like, why am I doing this? And God's going to be like, because you trust in me. Do what God leads you to do. Or just start being faithful now. Now, 10%? We'll get to that in a minute. So let's go to our story. Now, in this story, real quick, it's a story about a guy who has a manager of his goods. And the boss finds out that his manager is stealing. And so he's going to fire the manager. So the manager who's going to be fired realizes, I can't dig a ditch. I can't beg. I'm too proud to beg. How am I going to get another job? So what he does, he goes to all the people who owe his boss money. And he goes to all of them, all the debtors, and says, listen, why don't you, how much do you owe? And he cuts their bills in half. And they all of a sudden like this manager who's getting fired. And he's doing it so when he loses his job, he has friends. And what we're going to learn in this story are principles about money. Now, whenever you take a class, math class, English class, history class, or you try to get a driver's license, you take a test. Everyone say test. What kind of test can you take to verify if you are using your money biblically? We call it a money test. Say money test. So today we're going to take a money test. The money test is going to test three things. One, how are you currently being faithful with what God's given you? How is your current faithfulness going to affect your future trustworthiness? And what God do you serve? Okay? How are you being faithful today? How much are you going to be trusted with later? And who is your real God? Because some of your real God is in your pocket. You are sitting on your God. It's your wallet. And so we're going to take a money test today based on this story I just told you. So let's read the story. Luke 16, verse 1, it says, there was a certain rich man who had a servant. An accusation was brought against him that his man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward or a manager. Then the steward or the manager said within himself, what shall I do? My master is taking my job from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. So I resolve what to do, that when I am put out of my stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first one, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So the steward said, take your bill, sit down, and quickly write 50. And that guy said, that's a pretty good deal. Verse 7, he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill and write 80. Verse 8, so the master, when he found out this guy was doing this, he commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And also, I say, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting life. Number one in your notes. The money test will reveal your current level of faithfulness and shrewdness. Jesus is telling this parable not to praise this guy who ripped his boss off. He is praising, at least in these two verses, the fact that this guy realized that he had to be shrewd. And what can I do to make some friends? What can I do to prepare for the future? And how wise and how shrewd am I going to act? There are a lot of people who are so shrewd and hardworking and diligent in everything else other than their spiritual life. Some people work out and they know all about working out and getting in shape, but they don't know the Bible. Some people work day and night at their job, serving the almighty dollar, but they don't go to church on a regular basis. They don't serve. Some of you have many degrees to do this and all the certifications, and you're using it to make money, fine. You're using it to help society, fine, but it has no spiritual impact. I was talking to some pro athletes at a conference in February. There was 170 NFL players and their wives, for those who are married. And one of the talks, I mentioned that a lot of y'all have foundations. You have all this money, and you have this foundation to send kids to camp, teach kids how to read, you know, get kids out of the ghetto for a week or whatever it is. And I said, all that's fine, but wouldn't it be sad if all you did was help ease the hell they live in on earth, but they still went to eternal hell? And you use all your money and influence, and you missed it. You missed the kingdom. And what he said, what Jesus is saying here is, look, this guy who, he didn't know any better. He was just a wheel and dealer. And yet he did the smart thing for him. Why don't you take all the resources you have and do a smart thing to invest in the kingdom of God? Look what it says in verse 9. Verse 9 says, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting life. In other words, take what you have and invest in the kingdom of God, that when you go to heaven, they receive you. Do you know that when you invest in the kingdom of God, especially if people's lives are impacted, something's going to happen in heaven. When you get there, not only is God going to give you a reward, it's probably going to meet those people. You're definitely going to get a reward. And what God is saying is, don't waste your time and miss the whole point where you're doing all this industrious stuff in the world, and yet it has no eternal impact. How are you being faithful with your money today? Your money is a tool. It's not for you. It's a tool to God that God has entrusted you with. A tool to, yes, bless your life, but also to be a blessing to the world and to be a blessing and invest in his kingdom, not your kingdom. So how are you doing that? Are you doing that? Last week we talked about being blessed as a conduit, that God blesses you so you can bless others. It's not a cul-de-sac, which just stays right here. Look at number two in your notes. Number two says the money test will indicate the amount of true riches that will be entrusted to you in the future. The amount of true riches that will be entrusted to you in the future. Look what it says in verse 10. He who is faithful in what is little is faithful also in what is much. And he who is unjust in what is little or least is unjust in what is much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust true riches? By the way, true riches are people, souls, responsibility in eternity. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is not your own? What is your own? I've heard so many times people say, and some of you may believe this, I don't have enough money to give. That may be why you don't have enough money. You make $1,000, and God and your tithe is $100. Well, man, I got to pay taxes. Then I got to pay my rent. Then I got to get the movie Netflix. And then I got to go my shopping. And I don't have enough money to give. God says, "Oh, we talked last week. God gets the first 100. That other stuff is second to God." By the way, because when you give, what you're telling God is several things. One, God, I'm honoring you as the giver of all of it. I'm trusting that you will continue to bless me with more, so I'm giving to you. And I'm also continually training myself to not be selfish. Because when you give of to me and bless me for your sake, and I keep it all, I'm being selfish. It's my heart. My heart's not open to you. My heart is here. In other words, you don't have all of my heart. This is all about me right now. And so if you get 1,000, 10% is 100, and you're saying, well, when I get more money, I'll tithe. No, you won't. You tell me if you get $1 million, you're going to break off 100 grand for God? Oh, no. Oh, no. First, you're going to pay several hundred grand in taxes. Then you're going to go buy a stupid house. And get some ridiculous rims, and you're gonna have no money. I can't give God 100 grand. And you're gonna be like, well, if I just get a little more, that'll be your story for the rest of your life. And you live for yourself the whole time, and you blew it. You failed the money test. If you're faithful in little, God will entrust you with more. Now, it doesn't mean that you're gonna keep making more and more and more and more money. It does mean that God will entrust you with true, more and more and more true riches. The RFL class will teach you, the Rock Financial class, one of the things it's going to teach you is, hey, you don't always have to live more expensively. You can say, here's my lifestyle. God bless me, and I'm just going to give more, but I'm going to stay right here. I don't need to always get a bigger house, or always get a more expensive this. You don't have to. There's no rule that says that. Actually, we're going to see in a minute, it's a lie. So what he's saying is, if you trust me in little, I'm going to entrust you with a lot. Some of y'all are praying for a spouse to get one. Well, maybe if God can trust you with a little bit, then God can trust you with a lot. And God's saying, if you're not being generous with me with what I'm giving you, and that which means your heart is not with me, how am I going to trust you with other things? Because your heart's not with me. Your heart's not with me. You don't trust that I'm the giver of your good gifts. You don't trust that I'm going to bless you with more. You don't trust that I'm going to keep taking care of you. Do you really think you're taking care of you? No, I'm the one taking care of you. How many of you had a time in your life where you had nothing? Refrigerator was empty. God got you through. God wants you to constantly be reminded that it is Him getting you through, and that's part of what giving is about. At the same time, He is funding His ministry so He can do His work to help people. That's what it's all about. It's a cycle. If you're saying, Lord, I want to have a bigger ministry, I want to have a bigger influence at my job, I want to build my business, I want to help more people, He says, that's fine, be faithful in a little bit. Let's keep the communication going. Because I don't want to give it to you, I want to pass it through you. God hasn't given you anything, He's passing it through you. None of you are going to take anything with you in the grave. You're not going to see people laying in a coffin and their business manager laying down platinum cards in the coffin and say, hey, take that with you. It just came in the mail. You just qualify. It don't work that way. Matter of fact, in Egypt, when they had the pharaohs lived in a pyramid. The pyramid was a tomb to the pharaoh. In the bottom of the pyramid, all the way down the ground, they would bury the pharaoh in three coffins. They would mummify his body, and they would paint on the wall of the in the tomb at the bottom of the pyramid. They would paint the army of the pharaoh. They would put weapons down there, furniture down there where he was buried, because the theory was that he was going to take all of that with him into the afterlife. When you hear people robbing the tombs, they were robbing the tombs of all the wealth that they put in the tomb for the pharaoh to take into the afterlife. That brother ain't taking none of that with him. That's why they robbed the tomb. It's still there. You're not taking anything with you. It's not yours. It's a pasture. So God is testing you. He says, I'm going to give you a little bit and see what you do. And he gives you a little bit. You go, ha, ha, ha. Get back, get back. Ha. Then he throws another crumb. He's like, man, that brother got issues. Security, security. Number three, the money test will reveal which God you actually serve. Some people think they serve Jesus, but they serve Benjamin. Honey, who's Benjamin? I don't get that one. I just, is that a book in the Bible? Where, who is that, a saint? I don't know what that is. Benjamin's dollars, greenbacks, money. Look at verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Everyone say mammon. In your notes, it'll tell you that mammon is wealth. Wealth. Now, you might have heard someone say that money is the root of all evil. That is not true. Wealth is not the root of all evil. Things are not the root of all evil. They are tools, resources that can be used to glorify God or self. It's up to you. What God is trying to teach us is that they're tools to glorify Him and to measure our spiritual life and our connection to God and our commitment to God and our trust in God and to bless His kingdom. But never, ever, ever, ever that I have ever read in the Bible where Jesus said, when someone came to Jesus for help, never did Jesus say, you need to get a better job. You need more money. You need to get a raise. That's your problem. You should go to your boss and get a raise. That'll solve all your problems. Never did Jesus ever say that. Now, it's just money's just a tool. Write down 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy 6, 10, the number 1, Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y, 6, semicolon, 10. I'm going to break it down for you. I want to break it down. It says, for the love of money. Everyone say love of money. Greed is the root of all evil. I'm trying to get paid is the root of all evil. Not money. The love of money. Mammon. You cannot serve God in money. What does this mean? You cannot serve God and the greed of money. Now, if you ever hear someone say, you know, money has a spirit, or, you know, that food has an evil spirit on it, what they're really meaning is that the devil spiritually influences you with stuff. Speaks to you. So when someone says money has a spirit on it, money and greed and wealth speaks to you. Let's take a little test. How many of y'all have heard money speak to you? Okay, not many of y'all want to admit it. Okay, ladies, watch this. Ladies, how many of you were in a store in the mall and a dress was on the rack saying, come buy me, come buy me? Ladies, raise your hand. Okay, okay, all right, all right. Shoes were jumping off. The little shoes were on the rack just tapping his head. Come on now, put your feet in me. I'll make you feel good. You make it look all sexy. Go ahead. Ladies, come on now. Very good. Thank you. That's my point. Money was talking to you. It was like, yeah, come on. And you couldn't. It was like you couldn't. You just kept. And you went up to the counter. Please, I need these shoes. I need. And some other woman got it before you, or was getting ready to get it before you. You were getting ready to take your earrings off, box it out. Mm-hmm. I took my daughter to a store once, and there was a dress. Literally, she was like, Dad, 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 Dad. I had to physically grab her and take her outside and say, breathe, breathe. Here's what money tells you. Mammon. Let's read the verse again, then we'll look at what it does. No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other. Or he will be loyal to the one and despise. Everyone say despise. You cannot serve God and mammon. Do you know that mammon wants you to serve it? God, wealth, money, things want you to serve it. It says in your notes, mammon deserves your loyalty and wants to be served. It tells you to serve it. I want you to work for me. I want you to work overtime for me. I want you to flaunt me. I want you to search me out day and night in the mall for me. I am your boss. You do what I say. I want you to hoard me. I want you to brag about me. I, mammon, wealth, am your God. Now you may never have thought those words before. In Revelation chapter, matter of fact, write down Revelation chapter 13, verse 17. The Antichrist threatens the world by saying this. It doesn't threaten the world with death, you know, or it says, you will not be able to buy and sell unless you worship me. The spirit of mammon, wealth. We live, the almighty dollar and things is first in our life. I got to have that set, and then I can do everything else. And God says, you serve that, then you can't walk with me and have that mindset. Now, do you have to have a place to live? Jesus didn't have a place to live, so I guess not. Do you have to have a 5-bedroom house? No. Do you need to have a new car? No. Do you need to, you know, have new shoes every 6 months? No. It's in your head. There's so many things in your head you think you need that you don't. Why? Because the spirit of mammon has lied to you. It demands you to worship it. It demands you to put it first and all the things associated with it first. Then you can do everything else. That's your God. That's your God. What are you preoccupied with? Or are you preoccupied with God? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today? I want you to quit your job before you get another one. I want you to, by faith, move to this city where you've never been. And trust me. That's what he told Abraham. Leave your father and everything you know. Go someplace. I will show you later. Abraham said, let's go. Now, am I saying he wants all you to quit your job and leave? No, but he wants you to have the attitude where you say, God, whatever. I'm not getting up today to serve money. I'm not getting up today to serve advancement in this world. I'm going to get up today to be obedient to you. Because today you may decide you don't want me doing that job anymore. Today you may decide you want me to give this money away. Today you may decide you want me to get another job for making less money and change my lifestyle so I can serve you more. What do you want me to do? I know a guy who's making a whole lot of money with Qualcomm, quit as a police officer. If I feel like God wants me to do that, boom. Has God blessed him? Tremendously. Tremendously. So it's really about, Lord, I'm not serving mammon. I'm serving you. Now, as people of God, where's your heart? If God is your God, there's no alternative. You cannot serve God and serve money at the same time. You can't. Look what it says also in your notes. Mammon demands your loyalty. Mammon promises to give what only God can deliver. What does that mean? It's that what Mammon is telling you is that the more of me that you have, the more security you will have. That is a lie. That's a bold-faced lie. The more of me you have, the more important you will be. That's a lie. The more of me you have, the more happy you will be. That's a lie. Straight-up lie. Only God can give you eternal security. Only God can give you joy from within. Rivers of living water flow from your heart. Rivers of living water, which means that joy comes from within, not from without. That means no matter what happens on the without, you still have it. Oh, no one can take it from you. Only God can give you eternal security. Only God can make you happy. Only God can protect you. Only God can give you all the things money promises to give you, and money will never give it to you. And here's what happens. You'll get it and get it and get it and still be empty. And you'll chase it and still be empty. And it's telling you, bow down, bow down, bow down. And every time you chase it, you're proving it's your God. And you keep telling God, I'll be there in a minute. I'll give when I get more. And God's saying, Mammon's got you running around like a rat. Little lab rat. Sucking on a little bottle of some drug. I need more, I need more, I need more. God's like, it ain't going to work. It's going to kill you. Those lab rats die. Mammon, when mammon fails to deliver, it blames God. It's like buying a dress and saying, oh, or pants. These pants make my hips look big. Well, maybe you just got big hips. You know what I'm saying? Now, you may be offended because, well, if you got big hips, there's nothing wrong with big hips. Matter of fact, in the culture I come from, big hips are an asset. I know some different cultures, they want to just flow what you got. Don't blame the pants. Don't blame God. When you pursue money, 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 and you are left empty, don't blame God. God never told you that was going to satisfy you. Mammon lied to you. The devil's a liar. He can't tell you the truth. Can't ever tell you the truth. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to obey God. It's not like a novel thing. I want to challenge you to obey God. I want to challenge you, am I honoring God the way he wants me to with my money? It's either yes or no. There's no out clause. Well, if you do this or if you have this extenuating service. No, am I honoring God and do I believe that God has given me this? Do I believe that God has taken care of everything in my life? Do I believe in the end God is the one taking care of me? If I really believe that, the only answer is to tie back to him as an act of faith and trust and honor to him. Consistently and always keep my hands open. The minute you close your hands, God has given you too much. And your heart is closed. Open your hands. Look at your check. Did I really honor God with the first fruits of what I got? And to break it down for some of you who still are unclear what I'm saying, if your check was $1,000, did you really give God a first fruit tithe of $10, $100? And then over that as an offering? That's what it is. Did you really do that? And if you didn't, what was your excuse that was a loophole he didn't write in the Bible that you made up? And whatever that excuse was, all you got to do is look in the mirror and say, that's a heart issue. That's a heart issue. So here's my challenge to you. And I'll say this challenge from a person who is a numbers person. And what I mean by that, I love numbers. Figures don't lie, liars figure. Figures don't lie, liars figure. And say, Lord, here's my living, here's my income, I am going to give you what you prescribe, and I am going to watch what happens. In other words, God says, test me in this. That if you are not faithful and give your tithes to the storehouse being the church through which he ministers to the world, that I don't bless you where your vats are overflowing. Does that mean if you give $100, he's going to give you $1 million? Absolutely not. Does it mean if you are faithful to him to give him what he deserves that your life is going to be overflowing with blessings? Absolutely yes. But mammon will teach you that blessings only comes in the form of money. Blessing comes in many forms. Some of you have problems over here and things you're praying for over here and you're not giving God over here. You know those two things are connected? There's many issues in your life. There's many areas of your life that need God to bless. Can I get amen? That have nothing to do with money. Can I get amen? Those things are connected. And if you're not giving, that means your heart's not with God. Yet you're saying, God, my heart's not with you, but I want you to bless me. And God's like, do I look stupid? My church over here, I've given it to you and entrusted you to give to them so they can do their work to minister to the lost. Well, if you're robbing me, which Malachi 3, 8, 10 says, if you're robbing me, am I keeping something that doesn't belong to you so my ministry can't do the ministry? Then why should I bless you? Why should I answer your prayer? Why should I? And by the way, he's so gracious. He's blessed us way more than we deserve, but there's more. There's more. So my encouragement to you is this. We as a church, God has blessed us with a lot of things, one of which is a lot of opportunity to minister to a lot of people. But those opportunities cannot be fulfilled unless we all do the part that God has prescribed us to do. And please don't deceive yourself to think, that doesn't apply to me, I'm going to keep mine. And you got all these excuses of why you don't have to. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And don't think that what you have and what you've always made is all you always make. Or how you live is how you always live. Let God bless you with riches in heaven that are beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. Oh, by the way, those riches in heaven are physical, are spiritual. It comes in the form of new jobs, relationships, places to live, money, etc. It comes in any way he wants. But you're given to say, Lord, I'm just going to trust whatever you do. And by the way, God, if I always have to live in this apartment and you just make me really happy, that's cool. Because, again, mammon will tell you a bigger house is going to make you happy. But I've seen a whole lot of people in a bigger house be miserable and wish they can get rid of that house. It's really about, am I being obedient to God? Am I tithing? Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much that you love us. Thank you for what you've given us. And I pray for all of us here in Point Loma, in North County, online. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to us in a way that only you can. Only you will set us free in our heart to be generous the way you have prescribed us to be generous, to bless your church, your storehouse, that ministry may flourish, that the resources would match the vision. It's your vision, your resources, your people. It all belongs to you. So I pray, especially as people do their taxes and they're looking at their money, that they would ask the hard questions. Do I pass the test? Have I honored God with all that I have? And Lord, I pray that you would fund ministry beyond what we can ask or imagine and give us the ability to do what is beyond we could ever ask or imagine. And I pray as we have the ministry fair next week that you stir people's hearts to serve, to give their time and their talents as well as their money, and they could also see all the amazing work being done through your church. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing before we go. I want to encourage you, if you have not attended the Rock Financial Living Class, RFL class, go sign up in the lobby. It will change your...